I'll take it in, but don't look down.
'Cause I'm on top of the world, hey. I'm on top.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to JJ's Football Fix, the A-League Hour. My name is Jordan Gifkins, and alongside me is the ballistic Jake White. Hello.
Oh, great, mate. How are you?
Outrageous. On this sunny Wednesday morning. Yeah, it is morning still. Okay. Today is episode 20.
What is a morning?
Three. A morning. Morning is prior to 12. PM and after 12 AM this morning. Today's episode 23 on the of the A League
on the Hickory Dickory Clock.
And we're into the final round, Jake, of the season. And hasn't it just been building up for so long? Boy oh boy, has this end of season dragged on like there's no tomorrow.
It's been the most boring last, like, 5-6 weeks of football ever.
Yeah, like, nothing's happened, like, the standings haven't changed, like, what's the point? Anyway, yeah, as we have been doing since the fourth round of the A-League this season, we're going to be talking about the A-League for another week, Jake. In the meantime, or probably during the podcast, we'll find out a bit about the FFA Cup. Yep, at 12:30 we will. So keep your eyes
incredible.
Keep your eyes and ears peeled for a bit of exclusive information on the podcast later, because you ain't hearing it anywhere else. First of all, Jake, as we do tend to do at the start of every A-League podcast, let's talk about last week in the league.
Do we have to?
Yeah, we'll just briefly touch on it. I mean, realistically. We probably should. We'll quickly start off with Melbourne City, Jake, versus Adelaide. 1-0 result, Timmy Cahill scoring the header. Good header. Let's not bring it down any levels. It was a decent header.
Yeah, it was.
City pretty much dominated the game as well. So, pretty comfortable for City, who are gunning for that home final. And realistically speaking, they're up against it with their fixture this week, but they could just sneak a home final, Jake.
Yeah.
That's literally all they've been playing for. That's literally the end of season, all out playing for a home final.
Yeah, you're not wrong. There's a good header, in all fairness. I'm not going to sit here and talk about Cahill and pumping up too much because I think he's pumped up himself too much. But, yeah, it was a very good header. He deserved the win. Adelaide, I think, are more focusing on Champions League more so than league form because they haven't been able to make finals for the last like 10 weeks. So yeah, well done to City. You'd think they'd be able to hold on to a home final, but strange things have happened. So you never know what could happen, Jordan. But
maybe.
Well, the only way City can't have a home final is if Perth win by 4 or more goals.
Brisbane are on the same points as City.
Yeah, I know, but Brisbane will also have a home final.
Oh, right.
Third and fourth get a home final. So, yeah, the only way that City can't get a home final is Perth beat them this week by 4 more goals, which I can't see happening, but you never know.
Nah, even then, it's probably unlikely because Brisbane have to lose as well, and they've got Wellington at home. So... yeah, City should.
No. Yeah, it's real, but...
Let's not beat around the bush here, Jake. That's not all we do at JJ's Football Fix.
I'll beat around no bushes.
Wellington Phoenix, the team that unfortunately missed out on finals last weekend, put a nail in their coffin with this draw to Sydney. A 1-1 draw. Not a bad result, realistically speaking. But they left it late. Bob. Opened the scoring in the 72nd minute. Was it from the penalty spot?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, of course it was.
It was from the video review system.
Hey. What a luxury. Michael McGlinchey then scored in the 92nd minute to give it a 1-1 scoreline. And a good result for Wellington Phoenix. Like, nothing to play for now except for pride. And a bit of pride in that game, Jake.
Yeah, a bit harsh. Well, I said I think they deserve to win this game. Who would have thought that the video review system would help Sydney before it helps anyone else?
Didn't really have the opportunity to help anyone else before Sydney.
Oh, well, it didn't really help Wellington in like the 95th minute when Wellington should have had a free kick, but the ref blew full time.
They don't have free kicks, the video assistant.
Yeah, I know, but it should be. I feel like it shouldn't just be penalties and offsides. If it's going to be there, then it should be there thoroughly. But that's my opinion. Wellington were very good. Sydney were just Sydney. They're just going through the motions. They don't really care. They've had first place sewn up for the last 27 rounds. Well done to them.
Western Sydney Melbourne victory, Jake. What a dull affair this is.
This is literally the most boring game of the season.
40 shots on goal, 3 on target. Victory play with 10 men for an hour of this game. Roughly. Oh, not quite. Half an hour. 40 minutes. Yeah.
Never a red card. I don't care what anyone says. It was not a red card.
I don't think it really matters, to be honest.
Nobody cares, yeah. No, I curse, so he couldn't give a fuck because it means he gets an extra week's rest for the finals. But it was a very, very boring game. I was at the pub watching it with a few mates, and yeah, look, I can't say that I looked up at the TV too much. It was a very average game of football. Jordan, victory haven't scored a goal in over a month as well, which is very unlike Melbourne Victory, considering they're one of the best attacking teams in the comp.
They're forwards.
Yeah, we're playing like fucking dog shit. We're doing what Victory always do as well. We're sort of just limping into the finals. We've done it the last 4 seasons in a row. We even did it the season that we won the title. Like, we just, once we've had that spot, that final spot sort of sewn up, we just don't give a fuck for like a month leading up to the finals. So we're doing the exact same thing again, which I personally couldn't care less about. Like, I'd rather go into finals with form, but I'm not going to give a fuck. Like, if they want to do that, then they can go do that. It's up to them. And Western Sydney played okay. They were the better team in this game. They should have got the result, but Lawrence Thomas played very, very well again. And our defence was very good too. It was good to see James Donaghy turn up again. And I think James Donaghy's probably, hopefully, going to have that centre-back spot ahead of Ansell, but it'd be interesting to see who keeps that spot when Burrow comes back.
Certainly something to look forward to, Jake. Moving on. This is always shit games, realistically.
This is the most dull week of A-League in fucking history. Like, it's so bad.
Arguably,
I don't think we've got much to look forward to this week either.
Arguably, one of the better games of the round, Perth Glory versus Brisbane. Garcia, the Cahill-esque header in the 35th minute. Opened the score before Brie Holman. Brought it back to 1-1 just after half-time. Andy Keogh volleyed home in the 67th minute before Rostin Griffith scored a actually pretty decent goal in the 76th minute to make it 3-1. And Perth got the chockies here against the Brisbane side that looked lackluster. A good win for Perth, like we said, keeps their the chance of them having a home final alive. Should they have lost or drawn that game, would have off the drawn there was still a chance, but if they'd lost that one, they would have been down and out for that one. And knowing how Perth travel, very iffy to see them getting past the first week of finals. But Perth win 3-1, and that's that. Normally we get upbeat about a 4-goal game, but it's just like
it's very difficult to get upbeat about this podcast right now.
Very exciting podcast, one of our better ones. One of the ones we're probably the most looking forward to talking about, the A-League.
At least next week we're gonna have something to look forward to because then we can start getting to like the finals preview and stuff like that. But we've sort of limped into this. Like, we're doing a Melbourne Victory at the moment, aren't we?
We're doing the most teams sort of in the A-League right now.
We're just sort of limping into the finals podcast. But yeah, Perth were a better team. can't say I watched too much of this game.
They're not going to
But yeah, I wasn't definitely too surprised with this because we've said all season, Perth are good at home and shit away, and Brisbane are good at home and shit away. So if Brisbane travel to Perth, you'd think that Perth would be getting jockeys, and they did.
Why is the only team I've been impressed by lately Wellington, and they lost 5-1 last week?
The only team I've been impressed with lately is Adelaide.
They won 3-0.
Yeah, they beat Victory 3-0. The only team I've been impressed with lately is fucking Adelaide.
Yeah.
And they're second last.
Adelaide too, yeah. Adelaide and Westpac Stadium. Wellington Phoenix.
Western Sydney have been alright, in all fairness as well.
Yeah.
But it's been a very, very dull last few weeks.
Yeah.
Ever since realistically the Sydney versus Victory game in Sydney, when Sydney basically sewn up the title.
What a luxury. the A-League. What a league. Central Coast, we'll finish it off with the F3 derby, or the M1 derby, whatever you want to call it.
I thought you were about to call it the FFA derby.
FFA derby, yeah. I'll call it that. Nicky Montgomery, 32nd minute. Actually a decent goal, in fairness.
Pretty good goal.
Yeah. So open the scoring, and then Fabio Ferreira, one of my least favourite players in the A-League, scored a dubious goal that always look like dog shit. Goal's a goal, isn't it? 2-0 to Central Coast. They avoid, as it should avoid, the wooden spoon this season, unless Newcastle miraculously travel to Sydney and win. But yeah, they get the Chockies in an interesting final. I mean, I don't even know what to say. I didn't watch this game, so
I watched it, but it was furthest thing from interesting. I fucking hated it. Like, honestly, a derby had like 5,000 people there with like 150 travelling fans. Like, that is fucking shit house.
I like how we try to support this league as much as we can, but there's just a time where you just get to it and it's just like, this league is dog shit sometimes.
It's good. I love the A-League, but this season's been very, very dull since about 3 months ago. I'm not taking what Sydney have done this season like away from them and stuff, but because Sydney have been so good, it's just made it very dull. Because if Sydney weren't as good and Victory are up there, and like last season, the A-League at this stage was fucking mental. Like, there were three teams that could have won the... could have finished first on the final day. Like, it was ridiculous. But this season, we've got Sydney FC going into the final week of the season, like 17 points on top of the table. And Victory are 7 points above third place as well. Like, when there's a 24-point gap between first and third place, I don't think there's going to be too much to talk about for the last few months of the season. But, like, the next few weeks is going to be good fun going into the finals or something like that, because the finals are always a lottery. Like, you never know what could happen. There's a huge chance it could be a City derby semi-final, and Western Sydney the only team to beat Sydney this season. So, you never know, Western Sydney could come out against Sydney in the semi-final and beat them. That would be obviously ridiculous, and then Sydney might not be in the grand final, which is what everyone plays for at the end of the day. So the next few weeks are going to be very interesting and fun to watch. Obviously, this week we're limping into this week again, but I feel like once the finals get up and about and stuff, it's going to be very interesting again. Well done, Central Coast, getting the win. Hopefully, Newcastle can get a win this week, so then they don't finish last. But they've been shit house for a few months as well, so kind of deserve it.
Before I start my rant about crowd sentences, we'll just quickly just go over the table. Is that any different? No. Sydney FC first, Melbourne Victory second, City third, Brisbane at Raw fourth, Perth Glory fifth, Western Sydney sixth. That is pretty much how it's going to finish. You'd think.
Maybe, yeah.
Wellington. Oh, shit, who's Wellington? Sydney, West Sydney got this week? Maybe.
Adelaide away.
Yeah. Wellington, Phoenix, 7th, yeah. Central Coast, 8th, Adelaide, 9th, Newcastle, 10th. Likely, that's going to be the final ladder. Yeah. Stat leaders, basing it off this app, is incorrect. So I'm just going to head over quickly to the A-League. The A-League, what's it called?
App.
Oh, website, yeah. Oh, I've done team stats, Jake. I've done team stats. What am I doing?
Why have you done team stats?
No, I did competition stats.
I honestly feel sorry for anyone that is listening to this podcast.
Jamie McLaren, best up, Bruce, 18 goals each, top of the table. Bruno Fornaroli on 17, Bob on 14, Santalab on 14, Bobot on 15. in the assist, Rojas 11, Nikovic 10, Nico Martinez 8, Harold and Nichols on 7 each. That's the assist. Let's talk about saves. Poor Izzo, 88 saves in 5 less games than most other keepers in the league. So, good on him. Literally, exactly double than Dean Bezanis in the play the same amount of games. Bezanis had 43. Izzo has 88. 20 games each.
That's pretty incredible, isn't it? Like, when you put it in the grand scheme of things. It's just outrageous that things like that could happen. Why the fuck is Bezanis playing again? Sorensen was so fucking good for City.
Let's rant after we talk about the player of the season.
What is going on?
I only know who I'm giving 3 to this week, Jake. I haven't thought about the 2 or the 1.
you take it away, Jordan.
Yeah, just throw me under the bus.
Under the bush, your Dortmund bus.
This week, my one vote is going to Rostin Griffiths. he controlled the midfield, Jake, in a very topsy-turvy game against Brisbane Roar, which was good.
Oh my god.
He scored a fantastic goal that made his side win 3-1. And credit where credit's due to Rostin Griffiths. He played good. Thank you.
That was you sounded like Lebo. My one vote goes to Tim Cahill. He's an absolute fraud and I hate him, but he really did Everton days in that sort of header, so what of him.
Jake, my two votes this week are going to Eugene Galekovic. Now he's played on a losing side here in a 1-0 loss. I think he's played quite a good game.
You're literally putting people to sleep.
Yeah, Jake, I don't think about this shit before podcast.
I called him
Gagekovic. I've just written his name out, Gagekovic. Yeah, that's my two votes. Jake?
My two votes this week goes to Adam Berry. He was very good in the F3 derby, controlled the midfield, and was pivotal in Central Coast 2-0 win, Jordan.
But not quite as pivotal as my three voted to, and to Connor Payne. He racked Connor up Payne. A brace of assists in this one, and that's essentially why I'm giving him 3 votes this week. Oh, no, I can't see any other players that stood out. So.
No, you're not wrong.
Except for... Are you giving kind of pain?
Was that you trying to, like...
Yeah.
Transition. Sink it over to me?
Yeah.
My 3 votes this week, Jordan, goes to... Drumroll, please. Trust you will not expect this in the slightest. Goes to Joel Chianese of Perth Glory.
What?
Hmm.
20 points for Perth.
Yeah, that's it. Of Perth Glory. yeah, he was massive for Perth in their 3-1 win. He didn't get an assist. He didn't get a goal, but he got the pass to assist all 3 times.
So hey, you know what this reminds me of?
What?
That time I gave Kieran Backus 3 votes.
Yeah, didn't expect him to slide us.
Mm.
Mm. Who would have thought Joel Chianese would get fucking 3 votes this season?
How weird is voting this year?
How's the votes looking, Jordan?
Still disclosed. You know, one's going to be finding that one out for a bit. Not even me.
Fuck's sake.
I think Rojas won it, but I'm not sure. I'll go back through all 23 episodes. Fuck my life.
I don't think you will.
No, I will do it next week.
You said that last week.
So that's today's player of the season. so that's
incredible.
Jake.
Jordan.
We've been doing this for 23 weeks now, Jake.
We have, yes.
And it's come to the point, like we've discussed this week in the A-League, where it's just not tickling our fancy at the moment, is it? And it's obviously a mixture of reasons here and there.
because the last 2 months have been boring as batshit.
Yeah, that and, like, we prefer to watch the footy. I mean, I'm literally watching the footy over the A-League. Which is good that a A-League podcaster watches AFL over soccer. Yes. Jake, I want to talk to you about... Drum roll, please. Crowd attendances for 2016-17 A-League season. Now, Jake.
Jordan.
Jake, it's a much maligned topic. I don't know if that's a word. Is maligned a word? Like, blasseth malinga? Maligned. Yeah, maling. Speaks about someone in a spiteful, critical manner. Yeah. It's a much maligned topic, the crowd attendances this season, Jake. Most of the time this season, we have been, on average, higher than last season, to start off with. So don't get me wrong. Jake, I've been doing a bit of research for the last 5 minutes.
Are you on statistics attendances Ultimate A-League?
No, I'm on ultimateA-League.com. Yes.
Yeah, that's the... Yeah. Yes.
Jake, every season so far, since the 2013-14 season, we have had an average crowd attendance drop every season since. Now, we can cast our eye back to the first season of the A-League, and this is when the pretty not popular. I mean, it wasn't as popular, I would say. The first season, the A-League got 11,000 people, which is fair enough. I mean, didn't really expect big numbers, but in saying that, it's good. It's healthy. Now, we go to 2006, 2007, 14,000 people average per game. Now, this is with New Zealand Knights playing in the league. So this is a team that with the highest attendance of the season of 7,000 and a lowest of 1,600. That's like disgraceful. They got a total crowd to their home games for the season to 33,000 people. That was not even more than Melbourne Victory's highest attendance in a single game. Brisbane Roar almost got more to a single game to a round 21 clash with Sydney. The New Zealand Knights got to an entire season of home games. So, which is ridiculous. The dog shit. Yet they averaged 14,000 people per game.
That was definitely helped by Victory averaging 31,000.
Oh, this is including finals.
There was only two finals.
Oh, okay, so let's exclude the finals. 12,911. So, it's a bit down, but we can go to the next season, which exclude finals from the next season. They still average 14,610. So that's a healthy number. That is a very good, like, average crowd attendance for the entire league.
Well, look at that. Look at Central Coast City Newcastle in 2007-2008. Like, I know they both played in the Grand Final together, but, like, averaging 15,000-14,000. They're both playing in the same stadium that they're playing in now.
With a low of 8,000
for the season. And Wellington averaging 11,000.
Yep. No, it's not. Perth averaging 7.
No, but it's still like, Wellington averaging 11.
Man, Perth were like tiny club, Timpot.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's cast our eye forward to this season. So, we hit an all-time low, around 24, so 2 weeks ago now, Wellington Phoenix getting 4,800 people to a home game against Newcastle. It's not beat around the bush. A home game, Wellington Phoenix versus Newcastle is as dull as it gets, let's be honest. But we're looking at Central Coast getting 5,000 to a home game against Adelaide. Newcastle, 5,600 to a home game against Adelaide. Adelaide, 6,000 to a home game against Perth. Like, all these numbers, apart from victory, are single digits. I'm going to say Western Sydney, I'm not really going to bring into calculations because they have been moved around a lot this season. They're playing at smaller stadiums, so their lowest attendance is going to be lower than what it normally will be. However, you still think you probably get more of those stadiums. I think that each stadium to play out can fit at least 10. So,
I find it more concerning about the fact that Sydney have been so good this season, but their lowest is 8,380.
At Allianz Stadium as well.
Mm. Like, I understand that if that's like a regional game or something like that. But at Allianz Stadium, when your team's lost one game in the whole season, you'd expect to be getting your lowest attendance at least over 10,000.
Well, the positive we can take away from this is we did get our biggest crowd here of 61,880, which is an A-League record to win a home and away game. So well done to that. I believe that was in round one, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, Western Sydney home game against Sydney. So the Sydney derby attracted 61,000 people. Victory's home derby in round two attracted 43,000 people. So that's all well and good. Yeah, as you breathe considerably loudly. now, I'm not going to pinpoint direct reasons as to why the crowd attendances are dropping off. I mean, because I personally can't. Apart from us sitting here and saying the league is dull as it stands. And what's going to change that? I don't know. That's up for debate. No, but even then, like, I'm not even excited for finals. I probably won't even watch finals over the footy. Like this season with A-League, I know it's been, it was good to start. I was really into it at the start, and slowly for most people and myself, it's just, you can't be fucked. And now I guess the point where I can't even be fucked watching the finals. Because I've just had enough of the A-League this season. And I don't know why. It might be the quality is not good. Or, I mean, it's not bad, but it's not as good as it should be. Or it's just, I don't know. It's just weird. And I don't like it. But yeah, I mean, it's just, fuck, I hate football. Football shit sport.
I don't think football is a shit sport.
I've got no answers.
No answers, not at all. Not one.
No answers.
Oh, it's frustrating and it's concerning as well. But I don't know. I'm trying to look at it as positive as possible, but it's difficult to find positives.
There are no positives.
My whole reasoning behind it, again, in my, and it's probably biased, but it falls back on the FFA. There's a lot, I love the A-League and I love football, obviously, but I feel like this season it's just dull, and everyone for 5 seasons in a row now, it is going through the same motions every single season, and that's all good and well doing that if you're in England, Germany, Europe, whatever, and you've set your foundation over 100 years of playing the same league and stuff like that, but in the A-League when it's 12 years old and we need expansion and we need new teams, it's just now getting a bit dull because you're doing the same shit every season. You're playing I've literally experienced the same thing every single season for the last 5 years. We have Adelaide, Western Sydney, Sydney and City and Brisbane all away twice this season. Then next season we'll have them away once, and then the next season after that we'll have them away twice. I'll just put that into perspective because they're the away trips I do every single season. And it's just the same repetitive stuff every single season. And what the A-League needs is enough teams so each team is only playing each other twice. And it just falls back into the same conversation that we need expansion, because expansion, for one, will bring more interest into the league, will bring more players into the league, will bring more games into the league, will give more development to juniors, I reckon, because there'll be more teams to have the opportunity to go to.
Oh, 100%.
So, like, it just falls into, like, I know we've had the same conversation a lot, but it just falls back into expansion. That's the whole reason why the A-League's getting dull now, because Sydney FC and Victory this season, 1 and 2. 2 seasons ago, 1 and 2. And I can guarantee you, if there's no expansion, in 2 seasons' time, Victory and Sydney FC will be 1 and 2 again. Like, there, I have no doubt in the world. But they won't be next season because there's no squad space to be able, for teams to be able to compete in the Champions League and the A-League in the same time. So in 2 seasons' time, if there's no expansion, do the exact same thing again. And it'll just keep on happening and happening and happening because Sydney FC and Victory are the two powerhouses of the competition and they know how to get themselves back up and quite easily being fine for the title again next season after a season of averageness. It happens every single time. And it's got to stop because, like, as much as I love Victory being at the top every second season, well, realistically being at the top nearly every single season, I would rather have good, healthy competition. I would rather have City fighting for the title with us. Like, I've been thinking about a Melbourne Derby grand final for years. I'd rather have bloody Tasmania fighting them for the title with us. Like, imagine if Tasmania came into the competition next season and then they did what Sydney were doing this season. Like, imagine the interest that would come in through, like, because Tasmania do get around sport. Like, I've lived in Tasmania before for a year or two and they absolutely froth Hawthorn, and Hawthorn aren't even from Tasmania. And they, when I was living there, I forget what their cricket team's called, the Tasmanian Devils or some shit, in the Sheffield Shield, they went through the whole season unbeaten. And then for the 5 days of the final, they sold out Belle Reve Oval. That's like 30,000 people going to test match cricket for a state league team. And they do get around sport. Like, they sell out Aurora Stadium, whatever it's called, every single time Hawthorn play there. They sell out Belle Reve Oval every time North Melbourne play there in the AFL. So they do get around sport in Tasmania. So imagine if Tasmania came into the comp and did what Sydney did, and they're selling out their stadium every single week because the public's interested in it because they're doing so well. That creates more interest into the A-League. The whole reason why there's no interest, there is interest, but the whole reason why people aren't exactly frothing over what Sydney are doing this season is because people expected it. If you look at most fans' ladder predictions going into this season, everyone had Victory in Sydney 1-2. 99% of people, like a lot of people did, a fair few people did have City up there as well, but everyone knows City. City have great teams on paper, but they always lose to the teams that they should beat. And it's just the same repetitive stuff every single season. That's why there's lack of interest this season, because it's so repetitive. And I disagree with what you're saying on the way of finals. I'm buzzing for finals. I think finals are going to be great, especially if and I don't really like things falling in the lap of the FFA, but if there's a Sydney Derby semi-final and a Melbourne Derby semi-final, then that would be absolutely massive, because that would be 45,000 at Allianz and 50,000 at Etihad fighting it out for grand final spots. And then the grand final, either way, no matter who's playing in the grand final, it's always going to be sellout. It's always going to be a big game. So, like, the first round of the finals, you never know. Like, it just depends who's playing against each other. Like, if there's a Brisbane versus Perth game, I'll tell you that, it's going to be a very boring game. So, hopefully that doesn't happen, because it's going to be so one-sided. Like, if Brisbane play Perth in Brisbane, then we know who's going to win because of what we've been saying all season. But it's just very dull. And like we've said a lot in this podcast, is we're limping into the finals. Like, it's just been so repetitive. And, like, the Victory have played City 4 times in the last, like, 8 months. And Sydney are looking like they'll never get beaten. Like, I know they've lost against Western Sydney, but they're just going through the motions. And I know statistics will prove this otherwise, but I've found, as good as Sydney FC have been, and again, not taking anything away from it, but as good as they have been, I've found Sydney FC games very, very boring to watch this season. And realistically, they're meant to be apparently the most entertaining team in the league. So if I've found them very boring to watch and they're the most entertaining team in the league, then I think that proves how the season's gone this year. And it is concerning as well in the fact that I think this is the most talented season we've had. Like, we've got players coming out of it years. We've got Ninkovic, Castro, Rojas, Troisi, Martinez, Bruch, McLaren. We've got Barbarossa, Finkler. You've got players coming out of everywhere that are absolute class. And we've got Cahill back in the league, got Ford and Rowley. So, yeah, we've got class players. I think this is the most talented season we've had. And it's just been dull, which is weird to look at. But, like, you look back a few seasons ago and the talent wasn't that great, but it was probably the most entertaining season the A-League's ever had. So
I want to talk to you about the comparison between us and the MLS. It tends to be a common thing that people can seem to compare us to America. I don't agree with the comparisons that people make, considering just how much of an audience they have over there compared to us. Obviously, we've only got a 22 million populated country. I'm not sure the exact stats, but I'm sure America's into the 100 millions in regards to capacity. So they've got a much bigger audience to, give football to. They can make more teams. They can get bigger crowds, and nothing wrong with that. But the MLS is a very fun league to watch. I don't know if you follow any of it. It genuinely is just an exciting league. They bring big talent to America. They saw the likes of Beckham, Gerrard, Tim Cahill was there before he came here. Like
Thierry Henry,
yeah. Sean Wright Phillips, if you want to get into it, is still playing there.
So and even the New York City boys like Lampard, Villa, and Pirlo.
Yeah, I mean, imagine if the A-League got these type of players. But basically, essentially, we need to try copy what they're doing. And I don't.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Like, I don't think it's possible in regards to the amount of teams they have, and us copying that, because I'm pretty sure they've got about 20-odd teams or 22 teams or something like that. I don't think we can, as a country, cater for 22 teams professionally.
Not yet.
Not in a top division, at least.
No.
But in saying that, you look at little things the MLS does. Like, I'm not sure on their salary cap what their situation is, but if they're bringing players in like Henri, Pirlo, Gerrard, Beckham, they're obviously getting paid well. They're not going to go to America if they're not getting paid well, let's be honest. So I can't comment completely on the salary cap there. I'm not sure if they have a salary cap or, again, like Australia, the MLS has like a marquee sort of status for players that can get paid outside the salary cap. I'm not 100% sure. I'm not sure if you know that either.
Mm.
But basically what the MLS is doing, little things you can comment on like YouTube. Now, I think this goes unnoticed. I think the A-League needs a YouTube channel for one to chuck the highlights online. So
yeah, 100%.
Just so it brings more exposure because people aren't seeing the game. MLS, for example, I follow Seattle. I'm not a bandwagoner, even though he won it last year or last season. I think it was last year. I'm not a bandwagoner. I've been following them since about 2000 and maybe 12, 13. And literally this started because I started watching their highlights on YouTube.
Yeah.
So I've gained a following for a team from a different country that I can follow as a team in that league. Now, Australia obviously lacks in crowd numbers. It lacks in, well, I mean, it doesn't lack in interest, but at the same time, it does. Memberships aren't as high as people want them to be. If they had that exposure on YouTube and people can just go on YouTube, go about their normal stuff, let's be honest, probably about 75% of Australians go on YouTube. Probably. I can't give you an exact number. it's more or less likely they're going to come across the A-League's channel through different videos they watch, and then they get hold of the A-League through YouTube videos, and they start looking at it, they do the highlights, they see nice goals, they see controversy, and they're like, oh, this is cool, I might start watching more of this on YouTube. And then they end up building a relationship with that team through watching just highlights on YouTube. And they might not follow a team, they might just follow the sport, or I don't know, it just brings more exposure. And the thing that A-League's lacking is that exposure. We've spoken about how advertisement for the game isn't that good. Specifically the FFA Cup final between City and Sydney. We literally, heading into that week, we had no idea it was even on because the advertisement was so shit on it. Like, I didn't see one ad on it anywhere. Just anything to get the name out. And I think they really just can't be fucked. I think they're just lazy. And it always comes back to the FFA, because this literally is their role. They can just appoint, or they don't even have to appoint anyone. They can just tell people, upload the highlights on YouTube. And just doing that, you can get 10,000 views on a YouTube video of that. That's 10,000 people reached from that video. Like, it all adds up. Every number adds up. They want to build the game as big as they can. Every number adds up.
Right, 100%. I agree completely.
In regards to the expansion relatability, the MLS continually is adding more teams. I mean, they were formed in 1996, so they had a decent amount of teams in then. I think about half the competition, maybe just under, was a founding team in the MLS. They had like Chicago Fire joined a couple of years later. Early 2000s, there were a couple of teams here and there. They've had three defunct teams, so obviously, we've had like Gold Coast, Northern Queensland, New Zealand Knights, all defunct. They've had a few. But they're continually adding in teams. Since 2010, you see the likes of Atlanta United and Minnesota join this year. Vancouver Whitecaps have joined. Montreal Impact, Orlando City, New York City, Portland Timbers. They've all been added since 2010.
Yeah.
And they're very successful teams. New York obviously has a big backing of money and stuff like that. But just based on, you know, statistics and whatnot from just crowds and memberships and stuff like that, all those teams get very good crowds to their games. And they've all got big players in their team. And it's just really annoying looking at that and thinking they've been in for less time than a lot of these A-League teams. For example, Central Coast Mariners. They used to be bigger, now they're not. Like, they're not small, but they're following in games and the players that they're bringing through, like, in regards to their reputation and their status, like, their big players, isn't very big.
Yeah.
And it's pretty deflating to see, because the MLS, in regards to quality, is, in regards to their base players, the Australian players versus the American players, I wouldn't say there's that much of a difference from the American players playing in the MLS to the Australian players playing here. Obviously, America's probably a better national team than we are. But, like, it's just, like, little things here and there you can add in. The FFA are just being lazy. Like, we call them out all the time for different reasons. And this one, I've always wanted to have a YouTube channel for the league just to advocate it, but just the expansion and like you said, like, the league has been the same thing for the last 5 years. There's been nothing to look forward to.
Yeah.
And like the MLS adding in new teams every 2-3 years, like, there's something to look forward to for them. They give a team 2-3 years to adjust to the league, then they bring in another couple teams. And they're probably going to keep doing it. They've got two teams that are ready to come in next year and the year after, Los Angeles and Miami. So, and they've been announced since 2014. 2014, they said, these two teams are coming in, 2018 and 2019.
Yeah, well, that's one thing I want to touch on is, like, I don't support an MLS team at the moment, but I will be in the next year or so because I have become a member of LAFC, like an overseas member of LAFC. So, like, I'm keen to, like, start watching the MLS. Like, I do watch the MLS and I do follow what they do and everything like that. And if anyone on here hasn't got them on YouTube and stuff, well, I suggest people to go subscribe to Copper 90 on YouTube because They're currently over in England. They're an English-based YouTube channel currently over in America, covering some MLS games, and watched a video a few days ago on them at an Orlando City game. And what Orlando City have done is ridiculous with the like purpose-built stadium for them, and the 3,000 people like attendance of standing room. I think what they've done there is just ridiculously, like, it's just phenomenal. Like, and the A-League needs to do it. A-League needs to take a leaf out of the MLS book because, for one, they've lost a lot of people over the last few years because of the whole, like, I understand the whole no flares thing, but they've lost a lot of people because of what they've done to active support. I know Victory's average attendance is still pretty decent this season, but
I can tell you, right, 1,000 more.
It'd be at least, yeah, 2, 3, 4, maybe even 4,000 more every single game, with the North Terrace being there.
Yeah.
Because atmosphere is what divides football from AFL and NRL, in my opinion. Like, obviously, the style of play is completely different, but, like, you don't get that sort of atmosphere anywhere else. And what the MLS do is they use their brain, they have their active supports, and they let the active supports have, like, pyro zones, like, controlled flares and stuff like that, because they use their brains. And the FFA just think, oh, no, we can't have flares at games. You can have not exactly flares, but you can have smoke bombs. Smoke bombs literally do nothing.
It's just
to, like, harm people. It is literally just smoke. And it does the exact same thing as what flares do. It literally does the exact same thing, except it's just smoke. And what I like about the MLS is it's controlled. It's in a controlled environment. People that are there know that it's going to be there. And the difference between smoke bombs and flares is you can make smoke bombs, like Victory, like the North Terrace could go and make smoke bombs that are, like, blue and white or whatever.
Yeah, it adds to the atmosphere of the game. It adds to the spectacle. 100%. And, like, you know that I've told you plenty of times, the A-League for me going to a Melbourne Victory game isn't the same without the Northern Terrace, because they created the atmosphere. I go to a Melbourne, I don't think I've been to a Melbourne Victory game the Northern Terrace hasn't been there, because, not, well, I mean, there was one when we went.
Yeah.
And that was Newcastle at home. I think that was a 3-0 win or something like that.
Yeah, 2-0 or 3-0, yeah.
Yeah. And, like, that was the last game I went to. That was an A-League game. And that's not because I'm just disinterested. Well, I mean, it is part because I'm disinterested in the league right now. But that's part because I go to a Melbourne Victory game and I'm like, well, what's the point? There's no atmosphere. There's no fun. I know they're all big on, like, family-friendly environment and stuff like that. Families go to the AFL, and the AFL is a worse environment, arguably, for families than the A-League. And we saw that over the weekend in the Adelaide showdown, pretty much because there was a massive punch from behind the goals between different fans.
Yeah, exactly.
Or between their own fans, even. And what was the last time we saw a punch on an A-League game? Like, yeah, a genuine inside the stadium, big punch on, racism towards everybody, the players, everything. Like, we haven't seen that in a long time.
The last time I saw anyone get, like, full-on punch at an A-League game, and I've seen everything possible in an A-League game, last time I've seen anyone get full-on punch, like a massive punch on an A-League game, was 2013, 2014. So that's 3 years ago. And that was one incident. Like, that was just someone going up to someone and punching them in the face. Like, it wasn't like there was a massive all-in brawl, like, in the stands or anything like that. That was just someone, a Western Sydney fan, a Melbourne City fan going into a Western Sydney's away bay, walking up to him and just punching him in the face.
Yeah, and it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous that the A-League has to try and defend our crowds or something like that, and then stamp out anything that could be considered antisocial behaviour. And what they think they're doing is they're protecting people and protecting the integrity of the league, and people are like, oh, you know, family safe zone. What it's done is driven people away. It's driven the atmosphere's turned to 100%. Shit, and it's just driven people away. Like, I myself, and like a lot of probably different people that you probably know, that they don't want to go there if the atmosphere's shit. People want to go to games because of the atmosphere. They want to go because of the spectacle. And right now, and like it has been all season, it's not a spectacle.
No, no, mate, I've been getting messages almost every single Melbourne Victory home game, hours before it, the day before it and stuff like that. I get messages from people asking if there's going to be any after support. And if I turn around to them and say no, they're not, they don't come. But yeah. If I turn around and say, yeah, we'll have some sort of support, like come up to the corner or something like that and have like 1,000 or so people chanting and stuff like that, they'll come. Because people, the biggest thing for football is atmosphere. And I've posted it on Twitter plenty of times, and I've posted it and I've said it a fair bit here, and I don't want to sit here and slate FFA every single podcast we do, but football in Australia is in the wrong hands. They don't know what to do with football in Australia. They're scared of making it what it can be, and they're driving away their own fans. And as soon as we stop that, like as soon as we change things up or something like that, then we're just going to go through the same motions and we're going to have a boring season next season. And then if nothing changes the season after that, we're going to have the boring season the season after. And the fans are going to lose interest. Every yeah. single season. Like, if Victory come out next season and they go through unbeaten, obviously Victory will get, like, 30 to 35,000 every single game. Like, obviously they can't at Amy Park, but they'll get, like, 25,000 at Amy Park every single game. Because they'll be interested about Victory. The fans at Victory will be interested, but then the 9 other clubs won't be interested. So, yeah.
As we just announced, the FFA Cup draw for Bentley Greens, Jake, we have drawn a home game to the winner of RMIT and Morwell.
Yeah, well, you've won. I've just been on Twitter, by the way, over the last little bit, while you were talking about the MLS and everything like that, looking at an account, and there's a fair bit of transfer news coming out of the A-League, Jordan, if you would like to hear some.
Are we done ranting?
Yeah, I reckon we should stop ranting because we'll keep on going on and turn into the A-League day.
Yeah.
Sydney FC are about to sign Alex Brox on a contract extension. Bobo will review overseas contracts, and Holosko has got offers from Adelaide United, Sydney FC, Brisbane Roar, Newcastle and Melbourne City. Mm-hmm. Brisbane Roar are looking to approach Roy O'Donovan to replace Jamie McLaren if McLaren does move on. But Brisbane Roar have offered contract extensions to Broich, Coletti, McLaren and Pepper and Theo and Papadopoulos.
McLaren's not staying.
Yeah, you highly doubt it. Scott Neville and Josh Risden are apparently doing a straight swap. So Neville to Perth and Josh Risden to Western Sydney. And Reece Williams is going to Melbourne Victory to cover Alan Barrow at season's end. And Neville Melbourne Victory currently. Yeah, right. And Melbourne Victory are currently watching I don't even know how to say this guy's name. Matsutomoto Yagam fucking Serginio or some shit. I don't know who he plays for. He sounds like he's a Chinese bloke or something. And Victory have offered James Troisi a contract extension. Adelaide United will be announcing Paul Izzo in the coming weeks, with Sergio Cirio going to Central Coast Mariners. And Dylan McGowan is set to leave the club for Western Sydney as well, apparently.
Dylan McGowan's going to Europe, isn't he?
Yeah, that's what I would have thought. But
he had an offer from a top five league, I think, Netherlands.
Adelaide United FC will see Dylan McGowan leave the club. There is a contract from Western Sydney Wanderers in the works, but will continue to look for a club in the UK for now.
Yeah, they said he's got an offer from a club in Europe, they said, like halfway through the year.
Well, yeah. Interesting to see what happens. Like, well, the thing is, with Josh
Brisbane,
he's not
even
good
enough for it, though, but whatever.
Well, that's the thing. Josh Brisbane, I would have had at the start of the season going to Europe 100%, but now I don't think he's good enough.
Nah, yeah, shit season.
So, yeah, just some transfer news or contract signing news coming out of the A-League.
Well,
it'll be interesting to see how that goes over the next few weeks.
Quickly just cover the FFA Cup, Jake, because I know I just mentioned Bentley, but we'll quickly cover the rest of the draw. Port Melbourne at home, they will face the winner of Morwell Bark and Northcote City. Moreland City at home will face Oakley Cannons, so big one there. The winner of Dandenong City and FC Bullion Lions at home will face the winner of Banyule City and Melbourne Knights, my local team, Jake. I don't know if you remember the football pitch out the back of my house.
I do.
Banyule City's home ground. So they're in the last 16 of the Cup. Good on them.
Could you imagine if you drew them?
Away? What a fucking luxury. Avondale at home will face the winner of Green Gully or Altona Magic. So you think Green Gully will progress there in an all NPL fixture. The winner of Heidelberg United and Knox City will face Kingston City. South Melbourne will have a home game against the winner of Box Hill United or South Springvale. As we said before, Bentley Greens, my club, will verse winner of RMIT or Morwell Pegasus, a fantastic draw for us. And the winner of North Sunshine Eagles, as the stream has ended and I can't see it, will face whoever the other people are. What a luxury, Jake. They just had to cut out as I got to the last team. Winner of North Sunshine Eagles or Preston Lions will face the winner of Hume City and Nunna Wadding City. So you'd think North Sunshine will play Hume there. Good stuff, Jake. Good stuff. Let's crack on to the preview. We're approaching the hour mark. This is all to play for here in the dying seconds. Where are we? The A-League gap. That's what we're talking about. Quickly have a gander. Victory Friday night against Central Coast, Jake. Only one winner here. You'd think, unless Victory go in with a victory, I can see resting pretty much their entire squad and playing the youngsters.
No, I don't think we will. Just because we have the week off, next week.
Yeah, makes sense.
I could see teams like Brisbane or someone like that resting players, but I don't know. I'd be very concerned if we don't win this. Like, we haven't scored a goal in over a month. And Central Coast realistically have nothing to play for. We're at home, it'll be Good Friday, so there'll probably be about 20,000-25,000 people there, I reckon. I'd like to think we'll win. I'd like to think we'd put on about 4 or 5 goals as well, going to the finals with a bit of momentum. But, we should win, but I'm a bit worried about this game.
Yeah, I would be. How are you? I'm going for a win for victory, but we'll see what happens. Sydney FC, they host Newcastle. Probably another expected result here. Sydney FC should get the Chockies.
Yeah, they should. But Newcastle, I don't know. Newcastle wouldn't want to finish bottom. I don't think there'd be too many teams in the comp that would want to finish bottom. But I think they'd be paying in the back of the minds of a few people at the club in Newcastle, and they'll want to give 110%. But yeah, you'd think. I think it's a very similar situation to Victory's game. I think Sydney sort of limping into the finals, but you'd think they'd be able to get the win.
Yeah, I mean, very surprised if they didn't. Adelaide hosting Western Sydney Wanderers. It's probably going to be game of the round, in my opinion. Not that much to choose from, realistically, but Adelaide, who are playing for pride, really, at the moment, playing well in the Champions League, which we'll talk about next week. Versus Western Sydney, who, like you said before, alongside Wellington, have sort of been the pick of the bunch towards the end of the season, but they've sort of stood up and been one of the better teams. So I can expect fireworks in this game, maybe some goals, but for me it's going to be a draw.
Yeah, I'm going to go a draw as well. I think Western Sydney will obviously want to get the win, and it's going to be difficult for both teams backing up from Champions League football, but yeah, I think... Oh, I think if there's going to be a team that's going to win, it's going to be Western Sydney, but I think Adelaide will hold their own and get a draw.
Brisbane hosting Wellington. Like you said, Brisbane could rest a few players. Wouldn't be surprised if they start the likes of D'Agostino up front alongside McLaren. I think would be very interesting to see, because genuinely McLaren goes off for D'Agostino, and both are classy players. D'Agostino, obviously, sort of a breakout season for him, playing a few games off the bench and scoring a few nice goals, most notably last week, or 2 weeks ago now, maybe it was. Very good one. But starting them up front with Coletti in the midfield will be very nice and tasty, I think, for a lot of Brisbane fans. Wellington Phoenix, like we said, in the run into the end of the season, have been more impressive than a lot of other clubs. So I can still see Brisbane winning this game, even if they rest a few players, maybe a draw. But Wellington, obviously, like you've said about Adelaide and Central Coast and Newcastle, nothing really to play for except pride here, which could be enough to get them across the line against Brisbane. So we'll see. But I'm expecting goals, but I still think Brisbane will win.
Yeah, I think Brisbane will get the chockies. I think Wellington, a bit disappointed they couldn't get a win last week to try and still have a shake at the finals, but yeah, I can't see anything else than a Brisbane win here.
Last game of the season, Jake, Perth Glory. They host Melbourne City. For me, Perth will win this game, I think.
And I think it's going to be a draw.
Oh, yeah, fair enough.
Just quite.
If it's a draw, very good result for City.
I just don't want... I just want a Melbourne derby and a Sydney derby semi-final. So I don't care how the fucking round goes, as long as that fucking ends up happening. Then.
What if Perth win?
If Perth win...
Still can.
There's still a chance it can happen. Like, if Perth win and Brisbane lose... Wait. Oh, fuck.
Perth win them. If Perth win and Brisbane win, then it's still...
Yeah, exactly, yeah. If Perth win and Brisbane win, then...
So long as City doesn't win, basically. Unless Brisbane wins by more than what City does.
Unless City win and Western Sydney win.
Oh, I have no fucking idea.
As long as City and Western Sydney aren't playing against each other, I don't care.
There's too much shit going on in my head right now. I have no idea.
Imagine the people listening to the podcast.
Yeah.
Nobody was going on.
Probably killing themselves. That's all she wrote. And she wrote it.
Great. She wrote it to the roots.
Raise the outdoors, calm, see what we got. okay. We'll be back later in the week for the EPL podcast. And A-League 1 next week, where we'll talk about the finals, Jake, maybe.
Yay!
And yeah, we'll find out some other stuff. All right. Until then, though, Jake.
Have a nice. I'm on top of the world.